Coming up, Disney Plus subscribers report long wait times for customer service. Bob Iger hosts a masterclass, and our team is going to discuss what they would do if they only had a half day at Walt Disney World. All that, plus news, roundtable, rapid fire, and much, much more. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1056 for the week of November 19th, 2019. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan the perfect Disney, Universal, Cruise, or Adventures by Disney vacation. Find us on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And also brought to you by Dizboards.com. Join the conversation with thousands of Disney fans on Dizboards.com. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Here we are in beautiful Central Florida on a gorgeous day.
It is 68 degrees outside.
It's feeling lovely. The reason why we moved here from the Bob Varley Studio. My name is John Magi, and I'm going to be your host this week. Pete is around. He's just not feeling well, so we're giving him a little time to recuperate. And Craig is on a cruise at the moment, so we don't have Craig either. So I guess I'm third up in the roster of who's allowed to host.
Where do you think that puts us?
Really? And I'm really happy to be joined at the table by our Orlando team, Stephen Porter.
Hello.
Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
Kathy Whirling.
Hi, everybody.
Corey Fiescanaro.
Greetings.
And back in our production facility, we have our producer, Ryan O'Clavin.
Hello.
Again, thank you guys for being here and helping me through this. I truly appreciate it.
Doesn't he make that sound like we had a choice?
Well, you were voluntold.
Voluntold. Well, pretty much everyone had a choice except for you and Rhino.
Yeah.
So you have to ride with me. So, so we have a packed show for you. We've got some good stuff going on. So let's jump right into it with some housekeeping. I want to mention our marathon show, Saturday, November 30th. 2019 of this year. We're going to be doing 12 hours of content. Very exciting. Some stuff we've already taken care of and put in the vault, and other stuff will be live for sure. We're going to be doing live auction updates, and of course, everything we raise, we'll be going to Give Kids the World to help them in their cause. So we hope you join us for that. We hope you help us raise money for Give Kids the World and join us for our auction. If you're not going to be able to watch us for the show, the auction will be on Handbid, so you'll be able to vote. You'll be able to
choose your next American Idol.
Exactly. Vote people off the island.
Exactly. You'll be able to bid on items on Handbid. All right, that's all I have for housekeeping. Anybody else?
I do have some housekeeping. There was a little bit of an error with the output of our Disneyland show. So this week, the show will go up on Saturday for just the YouTube crowd. If you are subscribed and you listen to the audio podcast, that'll still be up on Wednesday, along with the supporting vlogs and everything that go along with that episode. Those will be out there. It's just the video, for some reason, got cut off, and the device that it's on is locked away while Craig is at sea. So you'll get that on Saturday.
Talk about being in the vault.
We've got a great system here.
Yes.
Our cloud is Craig's Mac, apparently. It's in the cloud.
Oh, it's not even. It's like an SSD card. It's like this somewhere hidden away that you have to find. It's on the back of a treasure map.
Is that a 3.5 floppy?
Yes, yeah. Are cutting edge here at the Diz Unplugged.
All right. Thank you for that. Anybody else have any housekeeping? All right. Going once, going twice. Forever hold your peace. All right, we're going to start with the news, and Kathy has been very nice to be voluntold.
Yes.
To be told that she's doing the news for me this week. So take it away, Kathy.
And thank you for not having those long names in there.
I tried to find a Chinese story, but...
Okay. Disney Plus subscribers are reporting long waits for customer service. With everything that's new, especially things that are technologically complicated, there are growing pains and problems need to be ironed out. Disney Plus, however, seems to have had more than its fair share of issues, and according to multiple posts on social media, some of them are not being addressed in a timely manner. Let me preface this by sharing a quote from at Disney Plus Help, the official customer service account for the new service. The post was from November 12th, which was the day Disney Plus debuted. While the account has replied to other people's posts, there have not been any new standalone posts since then. If you are looking to get in touch, please notice that due to the overwhelming response to Disney Plus, wait time may be high for customer service. We apologize for the inconvenience. Subscribers, however, are losing their patience with the lack of response from customer service.
Want to read some of their tweets?
Oh, let's see. I left those in the car.
All right.
Would you like to read them?
Sure. Christina Korma 3 said, hey, at Disney Plus Help, spent 3 hours waiting for help to be told I need to contact Verizon. The agent ending my chat before I was able to respond. Extremely terrible customer service. Contacted Verizon to be told issue was on Disney side. Pass this on to your customer service agents. Another person posts, been on hold with Disney Plus customer service for 2 hours after already waiting 1 hour on their client service, on their chat service. This all sounds like when there's a release.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's nothing new to me. That sounds like what always happens.
And they go on and on and on. And along with this, there's other reports. People are claiming that their accounts have been hacked.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And Disney is saying they don't believe it's their fault. They believe that it's from people reusing passwords they've used on other accounts.
I was going to ask, I want to say a weird bug that keeps happening in mind. I don't know if this is happening to anybody else, but it's two different things. So it never happens under my profile, but under Eli's profile, and he has never turned these on, the Spanish subtitles always come on, and I'm like, is this thing being profiling the Puerto Rican man in my house is being told he needs the Spanish subtitles only under his. It won't do it under mine. And then the other thing is too, and like I turn them off, it'll play for about 45 seconds and then go back 3 seconds and then play 45 seconds and rewind 3 seconds. It's his, and it does that on mine too sometimes. I don't know how I get it. Like, I basically have to shut the whole thing off, turn it all back on, but it'll keep doing it.
How are you watching it? What are you using?
It's my Apple TV.
That card he was using.
Yeah, this floppy disk right here. You guys aren't downloading it at like 25 kilobytes? But
Disney minus.
Yeah. So what I'll do as a workaround is download it onto like the computer or something like that. But yeah, it's,
So you were watching it on a computer and this was happening.
No, it was doing it on my Apple TV in my like bedroom. It was doing that. So
I know if Craig were here, he'd yell at me. I think some of these issues are actually Apple TV.
I think so too, because I feel like I've been having other issues with it as well, and now this seems to be like maybe the app and the hardware aren't going hand in hand very well.
The issue I've had a couple times is I'll get like the loading wheel in the middle of the episode, but it's not, the episode's still playing, and if I pause it and restart it, it's not like it's buffering, because that's, I was like, oh, maybe it's just buffering. I can pause it for a couple seconds, let it get out ahead of its time frame a little bit, and then it will keep going, but the wheel will just continue to play unless I leave the episode completely and then go back in.
That's weird.
The only thing that's happened with me is when I go to load Disney Plus, sometimes it gets stuck on the buffering thing forever, but if I just exit and come back in, it starts just fine. But I haven't had any interruptions with episodes or shows that I was watching. And I was looking into the hacking thing a bit. And what it looks like is there are a few hundred people reporting incidents saying like, oh, my account got hacked and it's for sale on hacking websites now. But it looks like it's a very small amount of people who are actually reporting that.
A million people already? Or
no,
10
like 10 million.
Million.
10 million.
It's crazy, yeah.
The vast majority of the people talking about this are saying like, oh, I got locked out of my account, along with the same conversation of the people saying they got hacked. And it's still just a few hundred. So I think that's what Disney was responding to, saying people who are account sharing and giving their passwords to other people, they're probably entering the wrong password too many times, and Disney's flagging that and locking it out. So I think it's probably too soon and too small of a group of people to like say if it's Disney's fault or anything like that. But if you look at the percentage of how many people are actually having this problem and how many people are on Disney Plus, it's very, very small.
They were also saying that you should use a different email address and password than your other accounts, which again goes against what Disney usually tells you, because like when people have trouble with their My Disney Experience, they're like, well, you need just one email address and password. And here they're telling you to have a different one. And it's like, okay.
I think they're okay with you using the same email. I think they want you to use a different password.
Anybody who's ever used a Disney website on any, or DisneyTravelAgents.com on a release day is not surprised that this doesn't work all the time.
As a matter of fact, I think it's working well, but I think it's just because I've been the abused spouse in this relationship. And, you know, it's like, oh, look how great it is. It's working fantastic. Kevin's only complaint is that it shows The Mandalorian.
The one thing I have heard, I don't want to say the wrong brand of television, but there is one smart TV,
Samsung.
Okay, that
Kathy's
they were
not afraid. She's not afraid.
They were told that they would be able to download Disney Plus and not have to buy a separate thing like Apple TV or Roku, but that it would just work right on the TV.
On the smart TV, yeah.
Yeah, but then they're like, oh, wait, actually, it's not going to work until like 2022 or something like that. It's like, okay,
we didn't
great.
Say now.
It's actually Vizios do not work with Disney Plus either. You would need to get an external device to work Disney Plus on a Vizio, which is, I think, one of the most popular smart TVs, too.
It is the cheapest.
Yeah. The problem is Disney's so visible, and there's so many people who are getting it, and they've advertised this and pushed this for so long that problems are going to show up on the internet. Social media is going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Whenever there's any problem with it, again, I think it's been great. Except for the first day. Yeah, no, knock wood. Yeah. Except for the first day with weird Wreck-It Ralph showing up. Other than that, we've been watching our stuff and having no issues. So.
And again, I felt right at home because it's like those are the same screens graphics. They use that we get.
When you sit on hold for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And that's not an exaggeration, by the way.
Yes.
So what's your favorite thing on Disney Plus so far? What have you watched that you think is great?
The Imagineering Story.
Yep.
That's great.
Imagineering Story, 100%.
And have your tissues ready because there'll be moments.
Yeah, I didn't get that. It didn't make me weepy.
Oh, just some of the things like seeing Walt Disney. I guess in my case, it's like, I wish I would have come to Disney earlier. And I said, Walt Disney, to me, could read the phone book. And I would sit there like everything he does, he's like a showman. Like how he presents himself and moves his hand. It's like, wow. And I missed all
that. You want to hear something cool? You know that video they show of him giving the dedication ceremony for Disneyland? We had... Can't think of his name.
Oh, the man who... Oh, his book's on my table, too.
The book about the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not Dan Rather, but he got the stuff from Dan Rather, right? Or right. something? Yeah.
He came to one of our... Did for one of our Backstage Magics and talked to our group, and he has color video of that same
with
speech.
With sound.
From a personal video camera.
You know what? He was here, and he did a podcast.
Yeah, he did.
And he sat there, and I did get to see that video. Gosh.
I look at his book every day.
Donald Ballard.
Donald Ballard. Don, if you're watching, we apologize. Yes.
It was a slip.
Yeah, it was. I just
he doesn't know my name either.
So that was really cool to see. So what was your favorite thing, Kevin, on Disney Plus so far?
I loved the Imagineering thing, but I also love the access to the stuff from, to me, it's a nostalgia
thing. The vault.
I'm not interested in the Marvel movies or the Star Wars movies. It's the nostalgia factor that, and I like the fact that all of the Disney classics are pretty much at my fingertips. I had heard that there are no Fred McMurray movies on Disney Plus at this time, no matter how many questions Rhino asked. None. I don't know if that's true. I haven't investigated.
Not the Lazy Dachshund?
Not Shaggy Dog.
Not the Shaggy.
It is nice, though, because there are plenty of Disney movies, like older Disney movies that I haven't seen in a long time that wouldn't necessarily have been ones that I'm like, I want to rent this for $5. But to check it out for free and see if it's the way I remember it being, and you don't have to like...
You kind of don't feel bad about not watching the whole thing.
Yeah, right. If it's not as good as you remember it, then you can just like, all right, what's another Disney movie that I loved and... check that one out instead.
I also like I have so many of these classic movies on DVD, but there's a process that goes into putting the DVD on and having it on. And these are a lot of movies that like Aladdin and Alice in Wonderland that I like to just have in the background while I'm doing other things. It's really convenient to just be able to like press a button on my remote and have one of my favorite classics on in the background.
Yeah, see, the problem in our house is we have to find the DVD.
No, what I actually did was I took a lot of these and I burned them and I put them on a separate hard drive. and we could access them. But the problem is, you got to remember, okay, now I've got to go and I've got to switch over.
And I have no
iTunes
idea
to do it. And I've got to make the TV see the iTunes. This is a convenient way. Rhino, what about you? What was your favorite?
I haven't gotten to dive in too deep yet, but I have enjoyed watching The Mandalorian, and I know Kevin doesn't like it, but I do enjoy The World According to Jeff Goldblum because he's just the weirdest.
Good Lord, he's annoying.
But I think, I don't know, there's something about him that is, I think, is charming and authentic, and just, I like it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
The topics are weird. I didn't enjoy the topics, but...
I don't know if he made it sound like at D23 that it was basically, he was like, whatever he was curious about is what the show was going to be about, but I don't know that... I feel like somebody probably came to him and was like, what do you think of sneakers? And he was like, oh, wow, sneakers.
Someone said, you should see this really weird convention.
Yeah.
You know, there's this sneaker convention every year. And he went, oh, that sounds interesting.
I have really been enjoying The Mandalorian. What's interesting about that, though, is I looked at the runtime. The second episode was 30 minutes. And then the first one was only like 38. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize this wasn't like an hour-long show. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's more like how it plays out in chapters. But when that's done, and then like Jeff Goldblum's will be done too, because those each, I think, only have 8 or 10 episodes. I am starting to think like, yes, this backlog of catalog is great, but what about new stuff? Like, I know it's coming, but when it first started a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And now I am personally most interested in to see what's coming in that in terms of that. And it doesn't feel like there's any Star Wars or any of this Marvel is ready to go until like the end of like next year.
Could the Mandalorian be like Stranger Things, where they're going to see what happens after eight?
Well, I know they're already filming the second season.
Yeah.
So it is getting ready to go. But it is one of those where it's still like, I'm now seeing where like, okay, it's going to take time to fill in that aspect. The thing that Netflix gives me, which is like the new creative content. And then I have my library, which is Disney Plus, and then Hulu is like, what's on TV, you know?
It'll get there.
Yeah.
All right, we beat this to death. You want one more thing before we go?
The thing that's bothering me is Netflix has spoiled me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Netflix gives me everything at once. Yeah. I'm really enjoying the new show on Apple TV called The Morning Show. However, they're releasing it every Friday. I want it all now.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with this Saturday afternoon?
You've been introduced to binge watching.
I have. Yeah. And it's
at least on demand when I want to watch it. It's available to me.
It spoiled me.
Anybody watch Forky? That's a cute series.
I watched the first one. I couldn't do it anymore.
It's silly. It gives you a chance to laugh.
Money.
There are some other good shorts like Float.
That was good.
Float was a good one. And then I didn't watch too much of the Forkies. I think I watched one of them, but I did watch, I'm not sure if it's too new or if it's a Disney Plus release, but the Toy Story Hawaiian Vacation.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That was like, made for TV.
Yeah, that was
it's
making
nice
me laugh.
It's nice to have lava.
Yeah.
At your fingertips.
Yeah, those shorts are great. All right, let's move on because we can talk forever about what's on Disney Plus, I think.
Okay.
Really? Not like our a table full of Disney geeks or anything.
Masterclass announces Walt Disney Company's Bob Iger to teach business strategy and leadership. Masterclass, the platform that makes it possible for anyone to learn from the best, announced today that the Walt Disney Company chairman and CEO Bob Iger will teach business strategy and leadership. The class will focus on making bold moves, taking smart risks, and embracing change. It will also dig into case studies of some of the biggest acquisitions Disney has ever made, now available exclusively at masterclass.com. Students can subscribe for unlimited access to all new and existing classes of 65-plus instructors through the All Access Pass. Masterclass categories include leadership, cooking, photography, writing, performance, and much more. David Rogler, co-founder and CEO of Masterclass, stated, "Bob is one of the best CEOs in the world. He's a master strategist and leads with the utmost integrity. If you want to lead or understand how the best do, you have to take this class. In addition to the practical lessons, Bob explains the strategy behind Disney's most momentous initiatives, from the Pixar and Marvel acquisitions to building Disney Plus." Turn the page. The boss of one of the world's most influential companies, Iger has expanded on Disney's illustrious history with a focus on creativity, innovation, and global expansion. He led the company through key acquisitions, including Pixar in 2006, Marvel in 2009, Lucasfilm in 2012, 21st Century Fox in 2019, and its watershed expansion into mainland China with the opening of the Shanghai Disney Resort in 2016.
All right, that's enough stroking of Bob Iger, I think.
Okay.
I think you're done enough.
Gosh, he's tall and he's handsome.
So
it seems like a weird way for Bob Iger to spend his time.
Well, you know, when they cut his retirement money, he had to
Fall back on something. Yeah. Those billions of dollars aren't enough. Well, it's first of all, he's already done it. You know, he's recorded and done. They're like 20-minute episodes. I think he's got 9 of them. And I just, the thing that this article didn't cover was the price. You can take one person's individual thing, and it's $90. Or if you subscribe to it, it's $15 a month, and they bill it annually. So what's on there is some actually pretty interesting stuff. Yeah. I was scrolling through it. Judge Apatow does a comedy.
Yeah, course. I think Wes Anderson has one on there too about like directing, and then there was a pretty prolific screenwriter on there too. It's just slipping my mind because every now and then I've been like, oh, you know what? I would pay to just watch this and not even take it as a course. I just think it would be interesting to listen to them talk about it.
I mean, you think about the amount of people on there for, I think it's $180 for the first year.
Yeah.
So I think it's something people should look at.
I don't want this for Christmas. No.
I didn't even realize it was that inexpensive, actually. I thought it was going to be like a $1,500 or something like that.
Yeah, I thought
that.
So, too.
Like, oh. I guess if you look at it as like TED Talks with really cool people, that sounds fun. That sounds cool. Yeah. But
and they're very, my understanding is they're not just designed to sort of give you information. It's sort of like a teaching thing that you have applicable skills to walk away with. You know, I mean, let's face it, whatever you think of Bob Iger, he's very, very successful. Yeah. And what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Ready for the third story?
Sure.
Okay. Two Disney cast members earned Skipper of the Year at Magic Kingdom. Being a cast member on the Jungle Cruise attraction at Magic Kingdom requires that one has a witty way about them. Recently, Jay Freisner, an attractions host at Jungle Cruise, and Richard Reyes, a food and beverage coordinator at Jungle Navigation Company Limited Skipper Canteen, each received nominations and were selected by their peers for exemplifying the best characteristics of a skipper. The two cast members were named Skippers of the Year at Magic Kingdom, and included in that recognition, their photos are now a part of the theme show. Photos were captured of the pair, and then with the help of Walt Disney Imagineering, they were thoughtfully aged to fit in with the 1930s timeframe for both adventurous locations. Guests can look for the photos above on Skipper of the Year plaques that are located in the Jungle Cruise queue and along the wall of Jungle Navigation Company Limited Skipper Canteen.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool because especially on Jungle Cruise, the difference between a really great experience and a really boring ride is always the skipper. Like, that's what makes the ride. And sometimes you get on and you can tell they're just kind of over with their shift and they are ready to go home. And it's,
what did you say?
Shift.
I heard
shift.
It too. Yeah. Yeah.
Shift.
Yeah.
Done with this shift.
And this shift. I'll emphasize the Efton shift. And that just makes the whole ride not that fun. You know, like, and if you can tell they're not into it, the boat's not into it. And then, you know, it's just,
I think about it even just from a worker's point of view, like now you can, like, oh my gosh, you're telling me that if I'm in the best at this work location, my photo is going to be immortalized in a Disney park. Like, for, you know, just assuming that in like 5 years, then I get rid of these. Like, but,
or does it every year? Do they crown a new one and that one goes?
Oh, see, I was thinking it was like a Hall of Fame, but maybe.
You mean
maybe
like Applebee's? Like Applebee's
still have to serve.
Yeah.
I bet they still have to pay for Disney Plus.
Disney Plus and their tickets.
Yeah. Well, I love that they're doing this. I mean, I love the Jungle Cruise. I love Jungle Skipper Canteen. It's my favorite restaurant in Magic Kingdom, and my office is themed to Jungle Cruise because I love it so much. But a huge part of that is the skippers, because like you said, they really make the experience. Whether the food is awesome or the ride is awesome, that skipper really makes or breaks a good experience on any given day. So they definitely deserve some recognition for that.
I would like to see them try to implement this in other areas that they can throughout Walt Disney World. You know, if there's an incentive for the best Tomorrowland cast member or whatever, I don't know how they could do it, because Jungle Skipper, that's being funny, and that's kind of its own thing. But, you know, Disney's got to think of something to incentivize cast members out there.
Yeah. They don't have cast member recognition?
I mean, they
did when I was a cast member.
They did, yeah, they had those, well, for me, it used to be those paper cards that you would get, and they'd write it, and you kept one, and then one went into, like, a thing, and you could win something once a month. And now I know with Twitter, when you do a cast compliment, they'll, like, they make a big deal out of that. So,
but this seems like a bigger thing. Yeah. I don't know.
There's legacy awards for
yeah, that's true. Awards. The blue,
that's
blue
a big ID. Thing. All right.
Yeah,
I've stopped the conversation flat. All right. Anything else on that, Kathy?
Yeah, that's it.
Excellent.
I just want to reiterate. No, I really don't want that masterclass thing for Christmas.
You got it. I do not want to learn.
I will not. I hate to keep bringing up Disney Plus, but did you see in the Imagineering thing when you were saying about recognition that Bob Gurr, you know, inside the Matterhorn, mm-hmm. cast members who worked there got to sign their name,
yeah.
and that Bob Gurr hadn't,
yeah. Yeah.
and just to see, he was like so touched that he finally got to sign his name in there, and I'm like, now that was classy. That yeah. was.
They I need like to put that. Like plexiglass or something over his signature so that other cast members don't get too close.
Right.
Yeah.
They haven't earned that respect.
But you know yet. What? There's probably a lot of people that work there that don't even know who he is.
That's sad, but true.
They should be disciplined.
Disneyland's different, though. I think Disneyland, they embrace their heritage. So I think I bet a lot of cast members do know who Bob Gurr is. All right. Let's move on to rapid fire. And we're going to start with Steve. Steve, what's your rapid fire?
Oh, yes. I'm not ready. But,
I know. I sprung around.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam is going to
be... The wrong one. Oh. Sorry.
All right. Start over.
Oh, geez. Oh.
Coming up, Disney Plus subscribers report now.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam is going to be live streamed from Disney's Hollywood Studios tonight. It originally was supposed to be live streamed on November 14th, but that was canceled and rescheduled for tonight at 8:55. So if you want to check that out, it'll be on Disney Parks blog.
November 19th tonight.
Is there any difference in this Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam than previous years?
I haven't seen it this year, actually.
I don't think there is anything different. I think it's the same as it was last year.
I liked it. I thought it was great. So I would go see it, but
I'm a fan.
Just wonder if there's something different. All right. Thank you, Steve. Mr. Close.
I am excited about something. There is an auction at something called the Van Eaton Galleries. I apologize if it's Van Etten. I think it's Van Eaton. It is the Van Eaton Auction House, and they are focusing on the history of the two Disney parks. There are two separate auctions, one for Disneyland, one for Disney World. Some of the cool stuff that I found is they have the original stretching portraits, the hand-painted stretching portraits from the Haunted Mansion.
That's awesome.
None of us can afford them.
No.
It's weird to me that they're not all clumped on one side. There's some on the Disneyland and some on the Disney World. So if you're looking at these two auctions, make sure you look at both. Something that really excited me, and I can't possibly afford it, is there is original Mary Blair tiles. It was prototypes for the Grand Canyon Concourse murals, and it's a 12-tile set. That was used, they actually used the prototypes. I think I read for some of the prints that were done for the Contemporary Hotel when it first opened. Some of those are for on auction. There's something I am really, really excited about, but I am really, really not telling any of you.
Because you know you'll be outbid.
But it's original paperwork from the opening of Walt Disney World. If you are into Disney history and Disney artifacts, there is some really cool stuff in there. There is also some stuff in there that you could have bought 2 years ago. So be careful.
I'm surprised that a lot of the things that you just mentioned are not in the Walt Disney Archive.
There's a lot of stuff in the Disney Archives, but some of these stuff had made their way into private collections. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The last Van Eaton Gallery thing for Disney was one person's private collection, and it was hundreds of items.
So there are people that's not collect. To say that Disney won't bid on these,
right, and take them back.
But I think, why do they need the prototype of the Mary Blair tiles when they kind of own the Grand Canyon Concourse?
Sure.
When is the actual auction?
I think it starts December 7th. It's going to take me that long to figure out how to sign up.
As long as it's past our auction, I don't want any conflicts.
If you're a Disney collector, if you are looking for a piece of Disney history, there's an amazing amount. There's amazing amount of depth in this auction.
The
in
these sign auctions. Things.
Yeah, things that there's a Ned Funicello Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh wow!
So I mean, there is something in there for everybody. And if you're into the whole paperwork blueprint kind of stuff, you should really go look at it. Original maps that were sold in 1955. I spent way too much time with it yesterday.
Have you had a chance to look at it?
I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but that's what I'm going to be doing after
there
the show.
There are a lot of old pins.
A lot of old pins.
Okay.
Nuts. A lot of old okay. cast member pins.
Pins that I thought, oh man, those look great.
When I was a pin trader, there was a set of pins that I wanted so badly, and I finally collected all of them, and they are framed and hanging in my hallway, but some of those are on the auction. Mm. It was the cast member pins. I have pins that would make you crazy, by the way.
I bet.
I mean, crazy.
You're going to have to show them to me.
I have about 1,500 Tinkerbell pins. One's limited to four. Wow. There were four made.
Make sure you have a taser and a security team.
Bring your checkbook. But there's some stuff in there that I think is really, really cool. And it's not all dedicated to folks who collect animation art. It is across the board. There are costumes. There are a lot of old ride vehicles.
Yeah, I was just going to say ride vehicles. There's a Wedway People Mover or a Tomorrowland Transit.
I want that.
Car and a...
I think there's a rocket.
There's a rocket, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there. So even if you'd think to yourself, what would I do with that? It's fun to look at.
Yeah, I remember seeing that's from Disneyland auction, and they had the People Mover vehicles there for sale for like $35,000. And I was like, that's a goal. I want to have a People Mover vehicle in my living room. That would be the best.
I don't think this one was that much, to be honest
well,
with you.
It starts at $8,000 or something. An expectation of what they... Yeah. think it will go for, that doesn't mean that's where it's going to stop.
Right.
I think the $20,000, that Mary Blair thing is the expectation it could go as high as $20,000. I would think it would go much higher. Rhino, will this link be in the show notes?
Yeah.
Because it's way too large.
Yeah.
But if you Google Van Eaton, V-A-N, new word, E-A-T-O-N, auctions, you'll be able to find it.
Cool.
Rhino, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Kevin, for that. Kathy.
Okay. Mine's really rapid. Beaches and Cream is going to reopen after their refurb on January 19, 2020.
That was a long rehab, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
What do you think they did?
Well, they made the space bigger. But
that's a good thing.
I don't know what they're doing to the seats and all that stuff. Hopefully, it's like how it was, just bigger.
Before you go on, can I do one more thing?
Sure.
Thanks, Skip. Skip brought this to my attention. Skip Potter. Thank you, Skip.
Excellent. What was that date again for BG?
January 19, 2020.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Corey.
A little bit more stuff about pins. Epcot, Pin Central. That's one of the original pin locations, along with the one in Disney Springs, was once downtown Disney, is going to be moving. So if you don't know where this is, it's right in between Mouse Gear and Starbucks by the fountain in Epcot. And it is going to be moving on December 8th over to the Camera Store location over by Spaceship Earth. And that's where you're going to be able to pick up all your pins, and that's where you're going to find all the limited edition releases as well. So if you're in Epcot around that time and you don't see your little Pin Central hut, that's why it's moved.
Were you around for the Millennium? Were you born for the Millennium Celebration?
Yeah, I was. I wasn't here for it, though.
Okay. Because that's sort of where pin trading took off, yeah. And that's sort of the original.
My first trip ever was 1998. And that's the year that they designated the official Disney pin trading logo on the back of pins. Before they sold them, but they didn't designate the official logo yet.
I was at the first day of pin trading. Mm. It used to be in front of Once Upon a Toy, and there was a men's clothing store. I can't remember what the name of the men's clothing store was, but it was kitty corner from each other. And it was right in front of that. And there was just a cart. And we used to sit on low brick walls in pin trade.
Oh, wow.
We've been around a long time doing it.
That's when it was cutthroat.
Yeah. It was. And you would run into people who say, oh, I can't trade for that. I only collect round pins. And I used to think, get away from me.
Thank you, Corey. Rhino, what about you?
So mine has to do with some Black Friday shopping opportunities that are coming to Disney Springs. So as you know, the holiday shopping season goes into full effect the day after Thanksgiving, which is next Friday, November 29th, the day before our 12-hour auction show. And the shops at Disney Springs want to make your Black Friday shopping just a little bit more festive by offering some special merchandise.
Why is he talking like Marilyn Monroe singing to the president?
I don't know. I have a cold, so it's. I feel like Phoebe when she's all sexy when she sings in the
smelly
my sticky shoe. So Ever After Jewelry Company accessories will offer new Disney Pandora charms that celebrate the holiday season. There'll be Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Cinderella, Castle. They're featured as the park's exclusive 3-charm Disney holiday gift bundle. There'll be some other Pandora charms that'll have Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore, and Stitch, and they're all in their, like, kind of holiday gear. They're also going to release 2 new Disney Dooney and Burt collections on Black Friday. The collections will feature a Frozen-inspired pattern, and the styles highlight the Wonder pattern from the 10th anniversary collections. Let me see. There's going to be a new Alex and Ani bracelet as well. It's a Cinderella Castle-inspired one. World of Disney will open at 8 a.m. on the 29th and will offer guests the opportunity to purchase the new Lego Disney train and station playset, which is crazy to me because that's already out. You can go buy it right now. So I am
going to line up at 8 a.m. to go buy it.
Yeah, or you could just go right now and buy it. So I think this missed something because I'm pretty sure I have walked by it and held it because Eli was like, I want this. And I said, not for $375. Don't expect that for Christmas. So like the Coca-Cola store, Harley Davidson, Pele Soccer, Mac Cosmetics, Shop for Ireland, Superdry, Tommy Bahama, they're all going to have some stuff going on. There's some special gift cards down there with new designs and things, but it's kind of what it is. I feel like you're looking for probably one of those, the Dooney and Burks or the jewelry or something like that.
However, it doesn't sound like there's anything like discounts or anything, right? I mean, do they mention discounts?
Yeah, that's the thing. There was, so like, okay, Coca-Cola, enjoy free refills with the purchase of select novelty vessels. Why they use that word?
It's a weird word.
A free fountain drink or 50% off cocktails at the rooftop bar from 2 to 4 p.m. with a $30 purchase or more. Yeah, there's a lot of spend $100 and something or whatever.
What a great deal.
Yeah, the soccer place has like 50% off select jerseys, so I'm assuming that's just like regular clearance. Mac Lover members save 25% off. Yeah, it just feels like it's not really sale. They're just kind of like, we might clearance some stuff today, so come on down.
Put that picture back up that you showed for your... Did you cut these people out of magazines and glue them on a background?
Out of my red...
This is the weirdest picture.
It was the one featured for the article, and I thought it was so weird that I chose to do it because, one, who really brings their 2 kids when they're Black Friday shopping at like 5 in the morning?
And carries them.
And how do you know they didn't buy those kids?
They were actually the deal. Spend $1,000, go home with a new toddler.
There you go. You know?
Yeah. Toddler and a cup.
Yeah, a vessel.
Maybe that's the vessel. Yeah. it was weird. It looked like they were superimposed and it was just a weird thing.
And these children are far too happy. Like, like it's Disney. 5 a.m. I am like, there is
their Disney Springs.
Yeah. What are they getting? I guess they just left with that Lego train thing. Set. Something. Oh, yeah. Maybe. I'm like, they each got one. I don't know.
Well, the bag is definitely from Sephora. I can see that. Black and white stripes there. It was definitely Sephora.
She's so. Every toddler likes
she's
Sephora.
She's getting a makeover.
Baby makeup. Yeah. A new...
All right. Thank you, Rhino. Thank you guys for doing your rapid fires. We're going to move on to our discussion topic. All right. So this was inspired by a post on the Disboards. A poster said, I have only a half day at Walt Disney World. What should I do? Now, her post was very specific. She had to be somewhere at a certain time, and her kids only did this, and she didn't want to do that. So she was looking for people to give her specific ideas. But I thought it would be fun if we opened it up to the table and said, if you only had a half a day at Walt Disney World, what would you choose to do? Think of it like maybe like you're here for a convention, and that's your only free time. So you're not going to go back another day. You're not going to return later in the year to do it. So who wants to go first? What have you thought about?
Go ahead. You said it first.
Okay. I wasn't thinking the whole convention thing, but I was just thinking if I was spending maybe a half day, if I got here early from a flight, or, you know, early from a flight and I have half day before my parks day is coming up, I would do renting a boat on Seven Seas Lagoon. Than going over to Geyser Point and maybe enjoying a drink before a dinner at Hoop-Dee-Doo would be my 1, 2, 3, and then maybe watch the fireworks if I did the earlier show.
Wow, so no park time.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking this was leading up to a park's vacation.
So you decided you're not going to go into a park because you're going to go into a park another day.
Yes, exactly.
And you so found a bucket of money somewhere. Yeah. Boats and
Hoop-Dee-Doo.
And Hoop-Dee-Doo. What about you, Kevin?
I'd go into the Magic Kingdom, and I would try and see Pirates, Haunted Mansion, and It's a Small World.
Would you eat anywhere?
I think if I had time, sure, I would have something. I think Main Street, you got to walk down Main Street to get to the other stuff. So I think if you've only got a half day and you're never coming back in whatever parameters you set up, I did not think about this is your first day and you've only got a half day. That would change what I thought you should do. But I think if you're only got a half day, you should see those things. And you've kind of got a touch of classic Disney.
So no other theme park. You're just going to hit the Magic Kingdom.
I've got a half a day. We tell people who are staying for 5 days that park hoppers are... don't wait. That's been a lot of time. You've got a half day. In my opinion, the classic Disney is those things in the Magic Kingdom. There are 1,000 other things I could come up with. However, if you've only got that, 4 or 5 hours, that's what I would tell you to try and do.
Excellent. Who else?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple different scenarios I'd have to go with. This was the one time I was going to see Disney this year, I'd basically do exactly what Kevin's doing and go to the Magic Kingdom, do the classics. If I haven't been here in the past like 6 or 7 years and I haven't seen Pandora yet, I would probably want to see Pandora. And if I'm me and I know I'm here all the time, I might just spend it in the World Showcase.
Just hanging out?
Yeah, just kind of – that's my favorite part, really. That's my I love the atmosphere and I love the the mosiness of it, the leisureliness of it.
That word.
Yeah, the mosiness. Yeah, and that's my favorite way to really do Disney. Like when I was living in Massachusetts and vacationing here, that's kind of what I really wanted was because we'd come here and we'd rope drop to park close every single day, and it was like get as much done as you can, and I earned for the day where I could just walk around the World Showcase. Leisurely. So that's my favorite thing to do right now.
I think it's interesting. Two of you did not mention food. So you don't have a thing like you have to eat. I have to go and I have to eat somewhere.
Well, that I put food in every one of mine.
Okay, Kathy, tell us your scenarios.
Well, I looked at it a little different because I went and looked at the lady's thread. And I thought, because she was saying she's coming in December. And I thought, you know, you could take that half a day. Depends if it's kids you're bringing along. I don't know how much they'd enjoy it, but tour some of the resorts with their Christmas decorations, you know, and you could take maybe a minivan or you could take the monorail around and look at the Christmas and then you have a meal at the resort. Or I said you could take a boat ride from like Port Orleans Riverside to the marketplace and then eat down there. I didn't have any of them going into a park because I figured it was a half a day because I know when we used to come down, like that first day, we'd hang at the resort. And then the last day, well, we usually tried to leave early. But if you had a half a day, even because everybody goes and goes and goes on their vacation, hang around at the resort, go to the pool, have a meal at the resort.
They were staying longer.
Yeah, I had the assumption that they were, was leading up to a longer vacation.
My thing to all of you was you only have half a day. So think of it like, so here I am at a convention. And I have to be at this convention every day, except I have one afternoon for your one.
I did have a friend like who was just in town, and that was the case. So he had the one half a day, and he was like, oh, I'm thinking about doing that. And he ended up, it was on one of the days where there was an after-hours party at Animal Kingdom. So he bought the ticket for that. And
that's a smart thing to do, I think. Yeah. I think that's really smart, because then, you know, you get in the park, you get to ride as much as you can in that short period of time.
Yeah, and he was like, well, so I met him and stayed with him as long as I could be in the park with him. So I think we met at like, it might have been like 4 or 5 o'clock. It was later in the day, too. And so, or whenever they let you in for the party, he was in there. And he... basically that the equivalent amount of time is the half a day, but he got to do every single thing he wanted. He got the snacks, so he got the ice cream and the soda and the popcorn, whatever. We stopped and had a drink in so it was at Animal Kingdom, so my favorite one of my favorite stops in there to bring people in is the Nomad Lounge, because I feel like it's a lot different than any of the other lounges or anything like that on property. And I like how unique it is to Animal Kingdom, using a lot of African liquors and stuff like that in there. And the drinks aren't regular drinks you're going to find anywhere else. So we stopped and I was like, oh, let's stop here. We'll have this drink and then we'll go on this ride and then I'll have to go. And he just kept going. And so that's how I took it. I tried to think, okay, I haven't been here for like 5 years. I'm doing what you said. My last day, it's a half a day. What is it here that I want to see or do? And if I'm going to a park, I'm with Kevin. I'm probably going to go to the Magic Kingdom, mm-hmm. because in my mind and in my heart too, I do feel like that is the best that we have here at Walt Disney World, because it is iconic. It has those great attractions. It reminds me of being a child. So even though I'd be there for a short amount of time, it still has a big impact of emotions to go with it.
People say a lot of times, if you talk to someone who's not familiar with Disney and they say, I'm going to Disney World, they think it's only the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They envision the castle.
That's what we called it when I was a kid.
Right.
Yeah. And my mom still does that. She'll be like, oh, we're going to Disney World today, too. And I'm like, Mom, we are in Disney World. That is the Magic Kingdom.
Get your nomenclature.
Yeah. I guess if we're going by, you only have a couple hours.
Steve wants to change his answer.
Then, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going by the popular Magic Kingdom.
You mean a couple hours? What the email said?
The
rules
I
learned. Okay. Oh, see, I went and looked at the thread, so I did half.
Me
and
Kathy did a little bit more investigating.
Oh, you mean you didn't
that
follow
wasn't
the rules?
Okay.
Breakers.
It was not the assignment.
God, I'd be a mean teacher. I'd be like, you're lucky I gave you the D.
You know, it would have been good when they had the bus that took you to all four parks? That would have been perfect.
A half a day.
You still can go to four parks. We've done that. We did that.
In 4 hours? Five hours?
Yes.
Did you go in?
Yes. We went in. We rode a couple rides. We had a meal. Went on to the next park. Yeah.
There are people who do that in a half a day. I think also, too, you know, there's a lot to think about with this, because you think, well, am I going to buy a one-day ticket? Am I going to go to every park? Do I have an annual pass? How do you structure that way? You were starting to say something.
Yeah, and also another thing is, what does your wallet look like? Because if you can afford to do a VIP tour and it's no skin off your back, then you can do so much stuff. But I was going to say, I don't think in a half day I would do any sort of table service or anything like that. But I also think this conversation broadens into this situation is, you actually just have a few hours, a half day on one day. But there are a lot of situations where I have friends and family coming to visit, and they do end up either on the front end or the back end just having that half day with their already ongoing vacation. And I will say, in situations like that, we almost always default to things like Disney Springs.
If I were not going into a park, I would do what you were saying, John. You know, nobody said food. Because of just the half day, I would want to sample a lot of my favorites or highlights or something. And then, but if I've decided, like, okay, you know what, a park's not on the cards today, I would pick one of my favorites. Like right now, I really like Sebastian's. I'd probably be like, oh, let me go to Sebastian's and then go to Disney Springs and have a drink somewhere there and then move on with my life.
You guys talk so much about Sebastian's. We got to try it.
It's good.
It's good, yeah. There.
I'm kind of hungry. I'm looking at the cord wrapped around my microphone, and I've decided it looks like a curly fry.
You know, the thing that always gets me as a travel agent is the people that go, we want to do it all. They're coming for a mm-hmm. week. And it's like, I feel really bad, because, I mean, Disney's a wonderful place, but I've lived here how many years, and I get to go to the park very, very often, and there's still things that I haven't done.
You were talking about the things you could do in a half day. I listen to people say, listen, I have a breakfast at the Magic Kingdom, and I have lunch at Epcot, and I have dinner at Animal Kingdom. And I think, you're going to spend the entire day on the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the monorail. You're just going to keep moving from place to place.
Are there people that in between those, they do their fast passes?
Right. I
plan
don't,
their day that way.
I guess I've gotten old and slow.
So let me position it this way. You have a friend who only has a half a day.
Now, we need more parameters than that.
Okay.
So is it the one tacked on to the end of their vacation?
No,
all been on?
No. Nope. One day separated from everything, like exactly. He said. You literally have a convention.
And they call you up.
I feel vindicated.
And they've never been. And they say, listen, tell me your advice for my half a day. I've never been to Walt Disney World. What should I do with my...
I stick by my original thought.
It's got to be Magic Kingdom. It's got to be. If they've never been...
Never been.
It's got to be Magic Kingdom.
Are they ever coming back?
Well, I guess it depends on the advice you give them.
This is your moment.
I feel seen.
Yeah. I think I would see if there is an after hours party and if that is something that's feasible, because it's essentially not that much different in the price of a one-day ticket. Yeah, right. So why not?
More parameters. What time of the day are they here?
So it's a convention. So they've done their morning meetings and it stopped around noon.
Okay, now I agree with Rhino. But I still think it's the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah,
definitely the Magic Kingdom, and definitely the classics, like you said.
Yeah, so if let's say it was they're here for that half day, and the party that night is at Epcot, I would say the Magic Kingdom. I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, go here. I think
anybody that's coming in for the day is going to go home and say I was in the Walt Disney World for the Magic Kingdom, and the people are going to say, did you see Pirates? I think you can't come here and not see those. Yeah, things.
Right. There's the rides that are sort of iconic and in everybody's lexicon.
And I think it does kind of matter the type of person too, because for most people that's exactly what I would do. But like, I have some family members who like Disney just doesn't appeal to them. And if they were here for a day, Epcot would be the go-to for them, going around the world.
Because they don't want to do the sort of kids stuff, quote unquote.
Right.
There are people who think that Disney's just for
kids.
I have
a brother who didn't get the Disney gene, and he went when he was a kid as often as I did. Yeah. However, it doesn't mean a thing to him. Where I was overwhelmed by it and moved to Florida because of it and have got a job that revolves around it, my brother, if he never went again, it would be okay. Right.
And I would say if you're a Star Wars fan and you're not sure if you're ever going to get to come back.
We're not friends with those people.
You know, or even, you know, Pandora. If this is your one and only chance to get to see this, then go see it.
That's true. All right, so let me postulate this. What happens if... it's not just Disney. Would you tell them to go to Universal for half a day?
I tell them to go to Mall of Millennium.
Yeah. Come over to my house. I do actually... See, that's a tough call, because I think, depending on what time of year it is, the half day, you could get more done out at Universal than you could at a Disney park, I think, because of, like, you know, it's a smaller capacity park and stuff like that, but... I think at that point you have to be like, well, what are your priorities? What do you like the most? Are you a big Harry Potter fan and you've never...
But don't you have those people in your life who say to you, listen, you know about Disney, just tell me.
Yeah.
Well, where do you want to go? What do you like? I don't know. Just tell me. I'll do whatever you tell me.
I know. And those are the people who always complain the most at the end of the day.
Exactly. Time. Because they didn't research it.
I think I definitely would look at their preferences and then like... not exploit, but use the thing that I know that they're going to love the most.
Take advantage
of them. To see why that we love the things that we love. So, like, for my cousin, he came down here and he thought, I said this in another podcast, he thought that the Walt Disney World was just Fantasyland. The whole thing was just Fantasyland. Right. So I think showing someone like that Epcot, or showing a person, you know, just depends on the person, to show them what they, if they think Walt Disney World is weird, show them what they're not expecting.
I just realized I did have another friend who was just here for a weekend for a convention, and they had a half day at the end of the convention on Monday. And we said, like, well, what do you want to do? What interests you the most? And they said, roller coasters. And I said, Universal Studios, we're going.
Well, that depends on the person. If they, you know, if you say to somebody, what's your interest level? And they say, seals.
Well, they're from Australia. They're from Australia, too. So that's why they were like,
we're not going to take them to Disney. We're going to take them to SeaWorld. So
Would you put them on, like, the monorail? Would you say, listen, go on the monorail and check
Wait for
out.
The drop.
The best roller coaster ever.
Take them on the Skyliner.
Or go on the Skyliner. Let's see parts of how big Walt Disney World is. Or would you just say, no, just go for the fun?
I'd say, here's what I would do. You go to Universal, get those coasters in. If they've got a couple time left, take them down to Disney Springs, take them to dinner somewhere there. So they get a little taste of both, maybe a little bit. And then you can do the ride on the
I'm exhausted
Skyliner.
With this half time. <Yeah.
laughs> All right, so we've got another scenario for you.
Oh.
You can only have one sit-down meal that day. They want to eat someplace. They want to know what's the best place to go to sit. I can only go to one. Where do you take them, or where do they go?
Hoop-de-doo.
Yeah. I do like Hoop-de-doo a lot. I love the interaction of that. It's either Hoop-de-doo or Sebastian's.
Say that again, Kevin.
I'd be annoyed.
You know, we're taking a Hoop-de-doo. So you say hoop-de-doo or Sebastian?
Well, I find that family members and friends that I have, they've never heard. For some reason, that's just the thing. People I know have never heard of it. And so every time I take them, they're like, oh, that was a lot of fun. And then my mom always wants to go now, but we never went when I was a kid.
Because it's the entertainment element in addition to the food element.
Exactly, yeah. And then you get that service. It's kind of a little bit of everything of what Disney does. You know, it's that show and story and meal, and you see the resort when you go back there too, so you get a little bit of everything.
We used to do Ohana before they, like, now they try to serve you real fast and get you out, but you know, if you could get a table or so that you could see the fireworks at Magic Kingdom, that was always people who had never been to Disney that always went. They're like, oh wow, you get to do this all the time. Yes, I do.
Have you been to Toledo yet?
No.
I have.
The view is spectacular.
Yeah, the view is really great.
Go for a drink.
Okay.
I enjoyed my food there. I know you've had problems with the food. I enjoyed the food there. But again, I think that's the new Polynesian.
The Barcelona bar is beautiful.
Yeah, that bar is beautiful. The views are great.
If I had one meal, I would tell them to go to the California Grill. Mm. Not because of the food, because of the view.
Yeah.
And time it for fireworks.
If I am driving somebody who has this half day, I'm going to take them to the Wave. Because it's a great price point. I know it's going to be. I've always had a good meal there.
I need that cue.
And it's also going to get us into walking distance of the Magic
Kingdom. It's like
eating
at a Hyatt in Oklahoma.
The problem is you haven't been. No, you were. We had
lunch
there.
Doesn't matter. Good. The food was good. It's a Hyatt in Oklahoma.
Yes.
There's nothing else other than it's decent food.
I think the food's good.
The theming is not great.
What place did you just say?
It's got waves.
It's like eating at a...
Oh, the Wave. Yeah.
It's like
the Wave has waves above you.
A convention space in a mid-level hotel in the Midwest. And I have not been to any of those, so don't write to me. There's just, in my opinion, there is nothing to recommend it. And if you're looking for good food, you can find good food for far less 3 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see the way.
This is his opinion for taking them on Disney.
He's wrong.
Oh my god! I should have started with no judgment zone.
This is not a safe space. This is a death match.
But also, I mean, I think if I just want to take somebody, if they're like, "Oh, what's your favorite place?" I probably right now my favorite place is Jiko, so I'd probably take them there too.
Okay, he's allowed to stay. My favorite place right now is Haleo.
Nice.
So good. But again. And that's not really, it's not much theming, but it's in a better space. I think the Wave has good food. I think that's the only thing to recommend it. And we hear a lot about atmosphere is important. That's why people go to that restaurant in the Wilderness Lodge where they throw things at you and scream. Because of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Whispering Canyon.
Whispering
Canyon. Yeah, that's the name of it. I couldn't think of it. I mean, no one goes there because it's a gourmet meal.
Right.
And that to me is the antithesis of the Wave. You can go there because it's good food. However... It's a Holiday Inn.
Yeah, there's not much to theming to it. That's definitely true. It's mostly, like, I really do like all the food there. I've tried pretty much everything on the entree menu, and I liked it all. And then you also get the secret hack of parking at the Contemporary and walking into the Magic Kingdom, which is a huge plus for me.
There's also something to be said for convenience. You know, Hoop-de-doo, I'm done with Hoop-de-doo. I've done it enough times.
Well, not only that, but it's plane, train,
right?
And trains and automobiles to get to.
Hopefully, you know, the guy's trailer pulls up.
And you get to eat out of a bucket.
Eat out of a bucket, yeah. So there's something to be said for convenience of getting in and out of the restaurant, but also where do you want to go to next?
Yeah.
So I want to go, the Wave is great for going into a theme park from there. Yeah. Or already being in a theme park.
I'm going to have to learn to have opinions.
Really? Because you didn't have any of this show for sure. Anything else you want to tell people? Come on, what a piece of advice you want to tell folks who are coming and they
come for longer?
Really?
But you'll be back.
They can't. The company only paid for them to go to the convention.
I think the best thing that you can do is say, "What do I want to do on this half a day? Is it attractions? Is that what I want to experience? Do I want to relax? Is it take in the sights? Is it attractions or is it like a nice meal, you know?" And then try to I always make a priority list. Like, what's the most important thing to me that I definitely have to do? Where is that located? And then that kind of starts the journey as you go, you know? So if like having a really nice meal is the most important thing, then let's pick where that meal is. And then that'll decide what the rest of the day turns into.
And that brings us full circle to why you need a vacation planner.
Oh,
why you need an agent.
Ding.
Dreams Unlimited Travel. No, but seriously, you know, we hear it all the time. I'm just going to go and wing it.
Yeah.
Oh, or no. They came back and said, I had a terrible time on my vacation.
I winged it.
Right. For whatever reason, for better or worse, no matter who created this monster, you have to plan for Disney. If it's a half day or it's 7 days, you have to plan.
Especially if you're someone that's never been before and you're here for a convention or here just for a short amount of time, even if it's for a long weekend, you're going to want to pack in so much that if you don't know what you're doing, like, you're just going to be that much more lost.
You need to call one of us.
And you also need to do a little reading so that you can ask, like, the right kind of questions. Because you can't just – because I sometimes get – well, just plan it all. Well, right. I don't know what you like, but, you know, read one of the planning books and come to me and say, oh, I hear there's this restaurant in the Polynesian. What can you tell me about it? You know, so you have a it and not Polynesian. To walk, you know, and not to just walk up to a restaurant and expect to get in. Right. Understand how it works a little bit.
Yeah.
And then ask your agent questions, because we'd be happy to give you the answers.
Or, you know, not to plug everything we have, but the Diz. Great resource. All the videos we do, anything like that, you can send somebody to those.
You know,
say, hey, listen, go watch these things and make up your own mind.
I've been so, like, doing this job for as long as I have now. I was looking up a restaurant the other day, like before I was supposed to meet somebody, and I was, you know, the outside of it looked really nice, but the windows were so tinted, and I was dressed a certain way where I was like, is this going to be a place where I can go sit at the bar and do some work? Or is it going to be like, sir, you need a jacket? So I like started Googling, you know, dress codes for this place, and it had a dress code listed, but then I realized like every restaurant has a dress code. So I searched and I was thinking, why does somebody not just go in here with a video camera and let me see what this looks like? And
where were you going?
It was this place on I Drive, and it turns out I walked in and I felt like a complete moron for even looking it up, because it was a place I could have just walked into. But it was a wine bar, essentially. But it was one of those places where I was like, I don't know if this is a dressier place, and I'm wearing like a t-shirt and shorts. I felt like gross, but I think,
why isn't every place in the world have a website?
Well, that shows you. Yeah, that shows you. I think one of those things I didn't think about is like, we show you the atmosphere, and that can be a big weight off your shoulders, knowing what you're in store for, bracing you ahead of time for that.
There are very few places in Orlando where a dress code is really enforced.
Yeah.
It is a tourist town. Mm-hmm. Even the Waldorf, even the Bull and Bear, which is a fine restaurant, understands that you are in theme park land.
Right.
So there are very few restaurants. Victoria and Albert's comes to mind. Can you think of another restaurant where a jacket or that kind of attire is required?
Now, for the most part, it's like no bathing suits, no flip-flops for men.
No shirts with dirty words on
them. Great, that's what I was wearing.
A bathing suit.
A wet bathing suit.
There you go. We'll leave you with that impression in your minds. Thank you guys very much for helping me with this conversation. Very lively, very interesting. I really appreciate it. That'll do it for this week's show. We appreciate everybody at home for listening and watching. And that's it. Turn off your computers. Go outside.